From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. President Obama is in Guadalajara, Mexico today for talks with his counterparts from Mexico and Canada. Mr. Obama also met one-on-one yesterday with Mexican President Felipe Calderon. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Aides say Mr. Obama's meeting with the Mexican president included a discussion of drug trafficking, efforts to combat swine flu, and the contentious issue of Mexican trucks. Under pressure from the Teamsters Union, American lawmakers have refused to allow Mexican trucks to travel freely in the U.S., despite the promise of the North American Free Trade Agreement. In response, Mexico slapped tariffs on some U.S. products this spring. Andrew Seeley of the Woodrow Wilson Center's Mexico Institute says the long simmering issue has not yet boiled over.
The Mexican government doesn't yet want to make a huge issue out of this. And so there has been some back and forth between the two governments trying to do damage control, trying not to let this become a huge public issue.
The Obama administration says it's trying to work out a compromise that would satisfy lawmakers' safety concerns and comply with NAFTA. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Guadalajara, Mexico.
The Palestinian Fatah movement has endorsed the creation of a Palestinian state alongside Israel. Fatah members also held elections for two leadership bodies of the movement. Linda Grantstein reports.
At the first Fatah convention in 20 years and its first ever in the West Bank, Fatah endorsed a Palestinian state in the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem alongside Israel. The party platform also says that Fatah has the right to use violent resistance against the Israeli occupation, but that measures such as civil disobedience are preferable. Fatah is hoping to revitalize itself ahead of scheduled elections in the West Bank and Gaza in January. This weekend, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas was unanimously re-elected Fatah leader. Delegates also held elections for two governing bodies, the 21-member Central Committee and the larger Revolutionary Council, with younger members in their 40s saying it's time for new faces in these leadership bodies. For NPR News, I'm Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
Two typhoons have hit Asia, killing dozens of people, leaving hundreds missing and forcing nearly 1 million people to flee to safety. Typhoon Morakot hit China, the Philippines, and Taiwan, where authorities say an estimated 400 people remain unaccounted for in a mountainous village that was struck by a mudslide. Elsewhere across Taiwan, another 51 people are reported missing. Meanwhile, in Japan, Typhoon Ito slammed into the western coast today, killing 12 people in raging floodwaters and landslides. Police say 10 others are missing. Prices are lower on Wall Street. At this hour, the Dow is down by 30 points to 93.41. The NASDAQ is down by 4 points to 1996. And the S&P 500 is down 3 points to 1,007. This is NPR News. Hillary Clinton heads to the Democratic Republic of Congo today, the fourth stop on her seven-nation African tour. She is to meet the Congolese president in troubled eastern Congo, where talks will likely focus on the continuing conflict there and highlight rampant sexual violence against girls, women, and increasingly men, perpetrated by all the warring factions, despite the presence of the biggest UN peacekeeping force in the world. NPR's Ophabia Quist-Octon reports.
Washington views success in Congo's belated campaign to flush out rebels from neighboring Rwanda as a key to restoring peace in Africa's unstable Great Lakes region. Congo is the biggest and potentially richest nation located in the heart of Africa, but has been plagued by insecurity and successive civil wars for more than a decade. Despite its mineral wealth, most Congolese remain impoverished. Symbolically, President Joseph Kabila and Secretary Clinton are to meet in the volatile eastern border town of Goma, which has witnessed untold human suffering, including rape as a weapon of war at the hands of rival armed militias and marauding government soldiers. Ophabia Quist-Octon, NPR News, Accra.
Authorities in Italy are reporting that 16 sailors, including 10 Italians, have been freed by Somali pirates who abandoned a hijacked vessel under apparent pressure. The pirates had seized the men in their tug 4 months ago and had been shadowed by an Italian warship. Italian Foreign Minister Franco Frattino told Sky TV 24 television that the Italian and Somali authorities had been working together, gathering intelligence and applying diplomacy. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News in Washington.